And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy, the Impact York. We are joined, of course, by West Coast Cody Elias. How you doing, Cody? Are you there? Are you there, Cody? Yeah, trying to figure out why I think Cody can hear me, but I can't hear him. We'll try to figure this out real quick. Trying to figure out exactly why. As always, Blog Talk likes to screw with us. It's exactly what they're doing. And yes, Blog Talk, I am throwing you under the bus. If you want to do something about it, you know where I'm at. This kind of gets ridiculous. But I guess we're going to try to figure out another way around this real quick. And while we're doing that, why don't you guys check out a word from our sponsors.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
All right, we are back.
We can get rid of this annoying echo, which we did. How about that? Something we couldn't accomplish earlier. Now, let's see. Cody, are you on the line with us?
Jeremy, how are you?
I am doing good. See, we can figure this out.
Little technical difficulties, you know, it happens. Live radio.
Oh, yeah. Well, not just that, but Blog Talk likes to figure out how many different ways they can try to screw with the show. So, you know, I've already threw them under the bus once today. We'll go ahead and make it twice. But it's all right because we are above them.
Well, you don't need to do next time. Just subtweet them. That's what everyone else does.
That's true. That's definitely true. And we actually got rid of the echo, which is something we couldn't do for the Marty the Moth. Back half of that interview. So I'm glad that that echo is gone, and we can move on to a lot of things, including, I know I've promised people all weekend, this is actually going to happen. We're going to talk some NFL football, and it's going to be things that matter. It's that time of year, right?
Yeah, so when you say things that matter, so we're going to talk about Lucky Whitehead's dog getting stolen, Julio Jones dropping his earring in the lake, things like that important, or actually football-related things, like things that are going to happen on the field kind of things?
Well, you know, just to get rid of all the nonsense football things, let's just go ahead and say that the luckiest thing to happen to Mr. Whitehead may be that the Jets picked him up because at least he'll get playing time.
Well, there's two things to that story. One, did the Jets sign the right Lucky Whitehead? Did they sign the Lucky Whitehead that stole his identity, or did they get the Lucky Whitehead that played for Dallas? Two, that this could be the move that puts the Jets on top of the AFC East. How does Belichick counter this move? Lucky Whitehead could be better than Julian Edelman. I might have to go out and put all my money down on the Jets to win that division this year.
You know what? I've already sent an intern out to do the very same thing for here, which means we probably won't see him for a week because the nearest place to legally bet is probably a few states away.
That would be Atlantic City. Is that the closest for you?
I don't know. I mean, there are some Cherokee casinos and such like that in the Carolinas. There's some in Mississippi as well. So there's a chance maybe one of those will do it. But, yeah, probably Atlantic City.
Makes sense. That's, the closest for us is Vegas from where I'm at in California. I mean, I don't gamble, so it doesn't really matter. But someday that'll be legal. But you know what? Let's not worry about that. Let's worry about real football. And, I mean, unless you really want to hit on Julio Jones dropping his earring in the lake, which is kind of a funny story. I mean, I feel bad, but still kind of funny that someone spent that much money on a earring.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't really feel bad that much because it's kind of like the story of if you have to tell me how good you are, then you're probably not. If you have to show me how much money you have, then you're really not fiscally responsible.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, the best part of the story is that he hired a dive team to go find the earring. Like, they think that if they go 60 feet down or however far they went down in the lake to find it, if you really thought they were going to find it, it's like literally finding a needle in a haystack because you're in the middle of a lake. I don't know. The things that lead on the things that lead stories on ESPN sometimes on the web page is it's highly comical.
Oh yeah. Well, and the last part about that is if you're one of those divers, even if you found it, are you going to come up and tell him, or are you going to put it in your pocket and then go pawn that?
Oh, that's a moral dilemma. Like, what do you do? Do you keep
right.
it and get the money? Because you're not going to get face value. You're not going to get the 150 because it could be corroded from being in that lake. Who knows what's going on down there, all that stuff. But, yeah, that's
right.
A very good question. If your morality has to be kind of low, your ethics, you know, your ethical standpoint on that would be, you know, do you, don't you? Since we're people are listening, I would return the earring because that's what kind of person I am. Really, I would just stab
right.
in the back and take the earring upon it.
Right. The kind of person I am, probably about 60% of me would just straight up give it back to him. And it, you know, if you got something for it, fine. If not, okay. The other 40% of me would trade it for some season tickets because apparently that's the only way you're going to get to the Falcons game this year. And, you know, what a great transition.
Yeah, I mean, so the new stadium's already sold out pretty much. Like, for games, because that's pretty impressive. Because the stadium does look really nice. I'm excited to see how it goes down. Because the Georgia Dome and all that was a cool place to watch games, and I know that was a huge home field advantage for the Falcons. So I'm curious to see how that will play a part this year for the Falcons. So you know, football's right around the corner. It's pretty exciting. I know out here the 49ers reported the training camp today, and the Raiders rookies reported on Monday. So we're getting close to the start of the season. It's an exciting time. All around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, let's go ahead and get this Falcons thing knocked out. And trust me, we're going to take both sides of this, and we're going to start with the Falcons side of this. This has nothing to do with the coaches. This has nothing to do with the players. I fault none of those groups of people. Let's start with the fact. Basically, it's like you said, this new the Falcons stadium is going to hold like 61,000 people. So far, they've sold about 55,000. PSLs, which means that gives you the right to bid on season ticket seats when they come up. So they basically just decided we're just going to go ahead and pre-sell everything. From a business aspect, I have no problem with this because it's a subscription-based thing. They are subscribing to show up for 8 Sundays, or at least they're subscribing to buy tickets for 8 Sundays. That's money that's coming in no matter what. It's the same reason why the WWE Network is a good idea. Because no matter what, you're going to be making money off these people, whether they use the service or not. So from an organizational standpoint, yeah, I would absolutely rather have 61,000 prepaid memberships, basically like Sam's Club, than I would to try to, you know, on game day say, well, we got to figure out how to sell 20,000 single tickets to this game against, I don't know, the Dolphins. I think that's somebody we play this year. So, you know, from an organizational standpoint, I don't have any problem with this. Kind of what's your take as far as the Falcons organization?
Well, you know, I kind of get where you're coming from because it's kind of the same thing happened here a couple of years ago with the 49ers when they opened Levi Stadium is, you know, everyone with the PSLs and all that stuff going on, you know, they were worrying about all that. But then I hope this doesn't happen in Atlanta because, as everyone knows, what happened with the 49ers, they completely fell off a cliff from an organizational standpoint with Harbaugh being let go and just everything, all the dysfunction that happened there. With Jed, you know, Jed York and everyone, you know, just does not like him because he's such a young owner and all that going on. But it's kind of the same thing here. I mean, they were good that they were, I think the first year they had Levi's, I think they ended up finishing 8-8. And then ever since then, they've had a winning season since. And You know, people are selling their PSLs already, and the season tickets are dropping. And, you know, I can go to a 49er game. I could have went to a 49er game last year towards the end of the season. I guess I forget who was the last team of the year they had at home. But I could have went to the game for like $5 or $6 from on the StubHub. So I'm not saying this is going to happen in Atlanta because they have a much better team. They have a much brighter future. But I think the Falcons are handling this perfectly. But, yeah, selling, you know, I think if you think like, look at it from only selling 20,000 tickets in game day, that's really not that bad because it could be worse. It could be someone like the 49ers who are trying to sell out an entire stadium on game day because no one wants to go. So, personally, I think the Falcons have it made right now. They have a new stadium. They don't have to worry about them not selling. They're going to sell out every all eight games in the two preseason games, probably because it's a new stadium. But, you know, I see them trending in the right direction with that. I just hope down the road it doesn't happen like it is with Levi's with the 49ers. So that problem doesn't arise for the city of Atlanta.
And two breaking news things come across the desk right as we were talking there. First one, you wanted to know how Belichick would counter such a move as the Jets signing Lucky Whitehead. Apparently, he ordered a 6-inch meatball on rye with no cheese.
Is that? Well, that's very peculiar because I didn't. Belichick doesn't strike me as a guy that likes rye. You know, that's what he would eat. But you know what? I'm not surprised. I think he's losing sleep at night because he's trying to scheme how to cover Lucky Whitehead. I don't know what to take with that because I'm starting to feel for Belichick. I think that this is starting to finally get to him, and I think Brady is worried, and this could be bad. This could be a bad thing for the Patriots.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to sign Darrell Revis back to cover Lucky Whitehead. I mean, that's the only way around it.
I mean, Revis. I mean, you might want to call. You might want to call some guys out of retirement. You mean maybe call Deion. Maybe Deion can come back and help Patriots because I don't know who's going to be able to cover Lucky Whitehead. How many catches did he have last year? That's what I want to know. How many catches did Lucky Whitehead have last year for the Cowboys? Because this guy was in the news for like 2 weeks straight, and he is just like he's literally a practice squad guy, pretty much. I mean, I don't know much about him. I know that he played for Dallas last year, but I mean, I'd have to actually go back and look at his stats because it seems like to me that he hasn't done anything. He seems like he's like a weapon kind of guy. He's only 5'9", I believe, but I don't get it. I'm trying to pull up his stats.
I'm pulling him up now.
He had three catches. He had three catches last year.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too. I was going to say, I'm going to set the over-under at 30. How many do you think he had? But, yeah, three. At least he caught them all. He didn't drop one.
Yeah, and he had six the year before. So, in his career, he has 9 catches for 64 yards.
Right.
I'm sure Julio Jones has that on a drive for the Falcons. So, I'm tired of Lucky Whitehead already.
Exactly. Which is why we will transition back to – that's what I was going to – the second thing, this just in – make sure I have it in front of me. There it is. This just in, traffic has actually cleared down next to Levi's Stadium, and the fans will now be able to attend the Week 4 matchup against the Cowboys last year.
Yeah, well, that's another thing with that stadium. It is set up so poorly for traffic. Now, I take public transit there, which is great. I remember when I went to WrestleMania there, it was just a nightmare getting out of there because, you know, you have 70,000 people piling out of that stadium. And the freeways, you know, the access to get to the freeways, it's poorly structured. You have one part of public transit you can take, which is great because it's so easy to use. But it's not like the Coliseum in Oakland, which I'm sure some of our listeners have seen the Coliseum in Oakland. There's so many different ways you can get there with the different freeways. You can take BART, which is like the subway system, and it's like a subway system you see like in New York. You can take a train to get there. There's so many ways you can get there where Levi's, you're pretty much screwed either any way you want to go in or out of there, and it creates a huge nightmare. And that's one of the reasons why people hate going down there, especially if you're someone who lives up in San Francisco or even northern, you know, north of San Francisco. So luckily for me, I don't live very far from Levi's, so it's not that hard for me to get there. But anyone that's traveling south from San Francisco, it's a complete mess. And also the Gold Cup game was last night between the U.S. and Jamaica, so the traffic yesterday was horrible, or as a friend of mine would say, ferocious as well.
Yeah, I wish I had that sound drop. I almost put it on here earlier, and I didn't. But, you know, we're going to be all over the place tonight, and anybody that's tuned into this is going to know this. We'll circle back around and catch the other part of the Falcon thing in a minute. But, you know, speaking of arenas and stadiums that are set up nicely based off transportation and all that. Just last week, I got to go to SunTrust Park for the second time. I've actually got to go twice in the last month or so. That's where the money went to this place, because nothing is super extravagant, like in a good way. There's, you know, you don't look and go, do we really need a screen that big? Do we really need these seats over here that nobody sits in? No, the whole thing is set up really nice. It's set up like a small concert venue almost. Every seat, I've sat in the 400, the 300, the 200, and the 100 sections. I've sat everywhere but the outfield and behind home plate currently, because we moved around a bunch. It helps when you have a little kid with you and you know people. But sitting everywhere, every seat seemed to have its own promise of a good thing. It was really nice. We've eaten a lot of food down there, but they invested so much money in the parking and getting in and out and around this stadium that it's really almost foolproof. I mean, it's even next to a gigantic mall, and some of the lots are part of the mall parking lot over there. So as long as you get a parking pass, which by far is the best way to go to SunTrust Park, if you're going to drive yourself, get your parking pass. You walk like maybe 0.4 mile over a pedestrian bridge that crosses all the major highways. You never have to cross the major streets. You walk straight in. It's got all the restaurants. It's got like a Harley Davidson shop even you walk past before you even get into there. So as far as my SunTrust review, because I know people wanted to hear it, especially after Hapes was on a couple of weeks ago, you know, he wanted to know about it. It's a fantastic place. It's definitely going to be a destination place because there's so much going on around it. And it helped that both games I went to were almost mirror copies of each other, almost to the exact pitch.
Well, when you build a new stadium for the Braves every 5 years, I mean, you figure they're eventually going to figure it out. I was actually up in Seattle a couple weeks ago, and I went to Safeco. And that ballpark is set up perfectly with accessibility as well. You can take the light rail system. The light rail system they have there that goes everywhere from the airport to downtown, it's like $2 or $3 to ride it all day long, and you can go literally everywhere with it. And that ballpark, it's so accessible to get in and out of. And I see what you're saying because with SunTrust, because that it looks like a great ballpark on TV. It doesn't look too extravagant. It's not like Marlins Park down there in Miami with all the statues.
It's very cozy.
Yeah, that's
cozy would
like.
Be the good word. It's very cozy.
And you have you're actually watching a team that's actually not playing bad right now, which is what the Braves wanted this year when they opened that new stadium. Yeah, I think people are going to be a little disappointed now because Dansby Swanson got sent to AAA. I think that might have been a move they did just to call him up to sell some tickets for the new stadium. But, you know, that stadium's going to be great for when the Braves are actually good again, which they're all indications point they're heading in the right direction, which you can't hold that franchise down too long because, as you saw back in the 90s and early 2000s, they were just a powerhouse. So I need to get down there. I'm trying to plan an East Coast trip next year for the All-Star game for when it's in D.C., but SunTrust is definitely on my list of ballparks to see, which seems like it'll be a good time.
Yeah, definitely so. And we'll have to coordinate that to make sure I'm in town for that. We definitely catch one. And All-Star in D.C., that, you know, possibly Bryce Harper's last year in the city, that could be a fun game.
Well, I'm a big Harper guy. And I don't know if you saw what the Nationals did today with the back-to-back home runs in the, I believe it was the second inning against the Brewers. Or second or third inning, and then they someone I think doubled or grounded out, and then it was another home run. So they had five home runs in the one inning off the Brewers. Jeez. Michael Blasek for the Brewers. So I definitely want to go see Bryce. I'm a big Bryce guy. But you know, this is one story. I don't know if you saw this thing, and I know we are literally all over the place. But you know what? This is we don't need a structure. This isn't a scripted show. Did you see the poll or the survey on ESPN? I think it was Darren Rovell had the story about the number one reason why the NFL ratings dropped last year.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So people are saying that the reason why the ratings dropped is because Colin Kaepernick took the knee during the protest, which, I mean, that explains a lot, because a lot of people thought that the election, you know, this election stuff going on was the reason why. But, you know, with Kaepernick, this just shows that, you know, people really did not like that he did that. And, I mean, maybe this is playing into why he literally might be getting blackballed, although – there are those rumors that the Ravens are looking at him to be the next backup quarterback. So I just found that interesting. I wanted to get what you thought on that. If you put any stock into the poll that they did, that the Kaepernick's the reason why the ratings dipped.
No, I think it's hashtag fake news that they're looking for some sort of scapegoat because for some reason people are still wondering, you know, why the numbers were down last year when they should look at the fact that, hey, we're on to another year. Last year doesn't even really matter. The only thing that matters besides – I'm going to go ahead and beat it by the punch. The only two things that matter from last year is the Patriots won their fifth title in the Belichick-Brady era, and the Falcons blew a 25-point lead from the third quarter on. So that's the only two things that anybody are going to remember anyway. It doesn't matter why me or you did or didn't watch a game last year or if Kaepernick took a knee or if he got a haircut or whatever – whatever would matter. He could buy an Xbox for all that matters, and it just doesn't factor in. So as far as I'm concerned, it's just hashtag fake news.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't put my opinion out there a lot on Kaepernick because, you know, as a 49er fan, he wore a fit on me as time went on. But as the more and more I saw how much he's into this stance of his, you know, he kind of grew on me because I saw how much he cared. And he actually was not that bad last year. I know people are going to say he wasn't great. That team flat out stunk. They were terrible. That's why they were 2-14. He put up the numbers. He's hit 16 touchdowns, 4 picks, that's actually not bad, especially playing in Chip Kelly's system, although Nick Foles did kind of the same thing. But that's neither here nor there. But Kaepernick actually had a decent year, and he's only 29, going on 30, and he's quick. I think the Raven, he'd be perfect for that Raven system because they need somebody explosive in that offense because, well, let's face it, that offense is very boring to watch.
Yeah, in fact, can we even name half the Ravens without having to look them up here? I feel like we all know who the quarterback is, but I mean, who's the receiver option up there? That guy, Breshad Perriman, or something, or somebody that gets hurt all the time?
Perriman, they have Kenneth Dixon, who just got hurt. Juszczyk, the fullback, now plays for the 49ers, so he's not there. Then Dennis Pitta, their tight end, retire. I have no idea who their top receiver is, and that's sad because I should know, but off the top of my head, I do not know who their top – there's an article that Bill Barnwell from ESPN wrote, the top and worst offensive arsenals in the league, and the Ravens are bottom five of the league. It's actually a good article to check out. The Jets, actually, even with Lucky Whitehead, are the worst offensive unit in the league, even with Lucky Whitehead. So that tells you right there that they're not really going anywhere this year. So, but, yeah, with the Ravens – they need something because Flacco's not explosive anymore. He's getting up there in age. That contract is going to cripple them because I like Flacco, but they give him way too much money for what he does. And he won that one Super Bowl, which was great for them. But we're going through this. We can't think of anyone even plays on a team on their offense, which is not good.
Oh, sure. Flacco's game is actually very close to Alex Smith because they both probably their best pass is the deep pass down the field. It's usually very accurate, but they're very good at the checkdowns and very good at keeping the ball moving, kind of like what Brady and everybody else does now anyway. But a lot of people don't realize that Alex Smith and Flacco actually have that much in common. But if you even look at their throwing motion, there's a lot. I mean, it looks like the same film sometimes.
You know, I kind of agree with you, although I don't think Alex has the arm strength that Flacco does. Flacco throws – I mean, Rodgers throws a good deep ball, so does Tom Brady. But I think Flacco's arm is incredible. I mean, but if you don't have anyone throw the ball to, what are you supposed to do? By the way, I think – isn't Mike Wallace there? Isn't Mike Wallace in Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm going down the receiver list now. They do have Jeremy Maclin. I forgot about that.
That's right. They signed him. Okay, so Maclin and Mike Wallace, right?
Yeah, Mike Wallace, Breshad Perriman, Griff Whalen. Throw that name out there, and Tim White. Those are probably – that's pretty much the all of the ones that I would recognize even in a police lineup.
Yeah, Griff Whalen, the former Andrew Luck prodigy. I believe he played at Stanford with Luck.
Yep.
They need something, and I think Kaepernick could be that guy if they want to sign him, because I've read some reports that they're saying how they have interest, Harbaugh, you know, the John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh connection, Kaepernick. I think he deserves another chance. But that's just me. I know other people don't feel the same way. But, you know, that's what everyone else feels their own way. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But I think Kaepernick is better than pretty much every quarterback that's signed to be a backup quarterback. He's better than Blake. He's better than Blaine Gabbert. He's way better than Mark Sanchez. This every backup quarterback is signed. I don't want to get on the list. I think he's better than Mike Glennon. And Glennon got that huge deal from the Bears. So we'll see what happens, but I'm sorry to take us off track with Kaepernick, but he's such a lightning rod with everything going on that I'm sure people are interested to hear what he has to say about. but him. So.
Yeah, and quick note, the backup quarterback for Joe Flacco is Ryan Mallett. And
Dane Vaughn, right? Or was that his name?
Dustin Vaughn.
From West Texas A&M, I believe.
Yep.
Putting
West Texas A&M on the map. I'm not sure even the state of Texas has it on it, so that's good that at least he's able to. And another note, they did sign Danny Woodhead. So, you know, if something did happen to Joe Flacco and you had a chance between Kaepernick or Ryan Mallett, I would rather have Kaepernick because you could have Woodhead in the backfield with the powder keg that he is. You have a quarterback in Kaepernick who can roll out and make plays. You can do a lot of the read option stuff. And maybe that would give Mike Wallace enough time to remember he's a wide receiver and try to get open.
Yeah, because I think Wallace is – see, when Wallace was still playing for the Steelers, I still lived in Pittsburgh. And when he had the hashtag Young Money crew with him and Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, they were that receiving crew was awesome. I'm not a big Mike Wallace guy because I think he's a one-trick pony. He can only run the fly route, but I think when you have a quarterback like Flacco who can throw the ball 100 yards on one knee, he's pretty much Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. He can throw a football over those mountains. That's how strong his arm is. So having Flacco and Wallace, that's great. That's why they had a good year last year. But now Flacco's hurt. Probably Mouth's not any good. I hate to say it because Mouth, he has all the looks. He's like, what, 6'6", 6'7". He has the arm, but he's just, I don't know, mentally he's not there. All that stuff that happened to him last year, they're in trouble. I think bringing Kaepernick in there would actually help them with that offense because if you lose Kenneth Dixon, who was your he's their top back, they could be in trouble. So, you know, give Kaepernick another shot. Let him see what he can do. And if he fails, you know, it's a low risk kind of thing because if he fails, you're not going to pay him a ton of money because he opted out of his contract, so you don't have to give him that much money. But, you know, time will tell what they do, and I'm hoping that he gets another shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we're going to talk a lot more about Kaepernick in the next couple of weeks. And I mean, the short answer, because I had this discussion with somebody as we were walking to the parking lot at the Braves game that I went to, some other people were discussing it and they looked over and I was like, all right, you want to know the short answer? And he goes, yeah, what's the short answer? And I was like, even though it's for slightly different reasons, they're kind of similar. The reason why Kaepernick and Tebow are currently not quarterbacks in the league, their circus outweighs their output at talent. And teams don't want a big circus around. They would rather have a super talented guy who goes home and plays solitaire than a even more incredibly talented guy who is going to command 1,000 media members to show up. So at least for now, until the circus dies down, I think by the time camps are starting to really kick in, I think we're going to see where Kaepernick stands.
I agree, and I hope that he goes somewhere because, like I said, some of those backup quarterbacks aside, Blaine Gabbert got a job. Blaine freaking Gabbert got a job, and Gabbert was ferocious for the 49ers last year. Kaepernick took his job. That's how bad Gabbert was. If Kaepernick is that bad, how come he took Gabbert's job?
Yeah, that's true.
So, Gabbert would have been the third-string guy in Arizona anyway, but that's beside the point.
I actually hope Blaine Gabbert does pretty well, and I'm going to go ahead and make him. I'm going to make him our shout out of the week probably a little bit later, just because why not? Blaine Gabbert needs all he can do. I actually met him back when he should have took over the Jaguars, but he was on his way out at that point. But hey, if Blake Bortles has a job, let alone Blaine Gabbert, if Blake Bortles has a job, then Kaepernick should have one.
Well, you never know. If Blake Bortles doesn't work out, you always have Chad Henne, who seems to just never disappear.
And he's really not that old. People think he's been in the league like 20 years. I said he's only been in like 10 or 11. That's not that much.
I remember watching him play in Michigan. That tells you how long you're going back with him. I remember watching him play at Michigan.
Yep. Of course I did. I'm a big Michigan fan. But, yeah, it baffles me sometimes the way things work in the NFL, but at the same time, it all comes down to circus and talent. And if talent outweighs circus, you typically get a job. That's why Ray Rice was able to come back into the league at least for a minute, and that's why he's no longer out because the circus ended up entangling him enough to where, you know, circus got too big, overshadowed the talent. He's no longer in the league.
I completely agree. And, you know, with something like him, we went through the list of this award today of all the guys that did something, you know, atrocious and everything that they got back, like Greg Hardy, Alton Smith with all his arrests, Pac-Man Jones. I mean, even with Michael Vick, all that stuff that happened, all Kaepernick did was take a knee during the national anthem with his First Amendment rights and everything, and he's getting all this stuff going on. But there's killers and repeat offenders of things that are still playing in the league. So Kaepernick deserves a chance, but if you're not going to give it to him, you're clearly blackballing him. I know they're not going to come out and say that, and I feel that's how I feel. I feel like he's being blackballed, but if the Ravens sign him, then we can stop talking about the blackballing. He'll be on a roster, and we can go from there. But until then, I still think that, you know, there's owners out there that are afraid to take a chance on him because of the backlash that it's going to create with the fan base.
Right. Absolutely. And as we move on, I'm going to let you take the reins on this one because you're going to know a lot more about it than I am, even though I follow along. The Major League Baseball trade deadline has it already come and gone, or has it still got a little bit?
Well, you know, living in the Bay Area, and you have the Giants, who are 23 games under 500. Think about this. The Giants have 40 wins, okay? The Dodgers are 40 games over 500. So the Giants are looking to sell, although they really don't have much to sell because Cueto's hurt. Samardzija's
right.
So up and down. They just traded Eduardo Nunez to the Red Sox. The story you want to follow in the Bay Area is, where is Sonny Gray going to end up? I mean, I know people on the East Coast know Sonny Gray, maybe a little because he played at Vanderbilt and he's from Tennessee, but where Sonny Gray is going to end up will be the big thing from my perspective out here in the Bay Area. Because the biggest names on the market are him, Yu Darvish from Texas, who gave up 10 earned runs last night, so who knows what his trade value is going to be, although I think he's probably the most talented of all the guys that's on the trade block. You have Verlander, who, you know, he could still pitch. You know, he's still pretty – he's decent. He's not as good as he used to be, but he's got up there in age. You have Sonny. You have Johnny Cueto, Samardzija, and a few others. But I think Darvish is the guy you want to go after, although he's afraid of this season. So I think some of these guys are going to trade it. I think Verlander is going to end up going to probably the Dodgers, which is scary because the Dodgers, far system, they can trade all the top guys, and next year they'll have six more top guys. So that's scary to think what they could do. So Verlander will be the big name shop. I think the Rays is pulling up a trade today with the Mets for Lucas Duda. I know that probably affects you as a huge Mets fan and probably a big Lucas Duda guy. How do you feel
actually,
about that?
He's one of my favorite players on the team. I saw that right before we came on air, and that got me a little sad for a minute because how can you not like the kid that swings? I mean, he swings from the shoe tops. He plays a pretty solid field position, plays first a lot. But it's just fun to sing Duda every time he hits a home run. So I guess I'll have to watch more, Tampa Bay games now?
Yeah, you know, the Rays are actually exciting to watch. I mean, at least I think so. I'm into the things they do. I don't think they have the right manager. I'm not a big Kevin Cash guy, but they have a lot of nice pieces.
Yeah.
Logan Morrison is having a great bounce-back year. You saw Longoria. You have players like a guy that you guys will know in Atlanta, Malik Smith, who – was just let go or traded, and that was silly. Should never let him go because he's having a great year for the Rays. They have pitching with Chris Archer, although Odorizzi's got put on the DL, so maybe they'll get another starter. They just added Dan Jennings from the White Sox to help out their bullpen, but they're a fun team to watch. They're right there in the thick of things in the AL East, so that's a good move for them. I'm trying to think if there's any other big name players that could be on the block, like just position players, because the trade deadline is kind of slow this year. Because a lot of the starting players you want to keep an eye on, especially the guy to keep an eye on, like I said, is Sonny Gray and Verlander and Yu Darvish. Those are the three you want to watch. I don't think Cueto is going to get moved because he has the opt-out after this season, which means he signed that big deal with the Giants, but after this year he can opt out and go sign somewhere else. So I think teams are going to be a little wary of that situation that he could possibly be gone. So I wouldn't put too much stock in him getting moved, plus he's on the DL with blisters again. We'll see what happens. The deadline is always fun for me to watch. Because, you know, being a Pirates fan, I'm always just asking my team selling off, which this year they might be buyers. Who knows, because they're right there. They're only four games out of first. And, you know, the big rumors, they're looking at shipping McCutcheon and Harrison out, but now they're not. So I don't know who the biggest position players who could be dealt are. I wish there was more big names. But, you know, just keep rising because, you know, anything can happen. And usually there's always one or two big trades that happen, like coming down to the wire that'll happen. So keep an eye on that. I wish I had more for Braves fans because, I mean, they're only four games under, but I don't know if they're really going to do anything this year because they kind of have a nice system in place for next year. I think they're a little ahead of schedule. I don't think anyone really thought they were going to be where they are right now. but they have some really nice pieces with going on, even though Dansby Swanson's having kind of a sophomore slump a little bit here, but he'll be fine. But just keep it up, you know, just don't lose the faith in Atlanta when it comes to the Braves, but keep it on the deadline. There's something's going to happen. I feel something major is going to happen soon because there are so many teams scouting different pitchers, and I think one of these big three guys is going to get moved probably beginning either maybe tomorrow or Saturday before even the deadline happens. So that'll be the big thing that happens.
Yeah, and as far as the Braves went, I know they sent Jaime Garcia up to
Minnesota.
Minnesota. As part of that, and supposedly that was to make room for Sonny Gray, but like I said the other day to somebody in the middle of a restaurant, the Braves aren't ready to – I mean, it would be nice to have Sonny Gray here, but as far as what it would do this year, yeah, I agree with you. They're a little ahead of schedule, but they're not ready for the level that they're at. That's why you have time to let Swanson get his bearings under him. You have time to kind of really settle the playing field a little bit, and time to call up some of these guys from Double and Triple A and just go, hey, the floor is yours. What can you do?
Yeah, and you have a lot of nice young pieces. Ruiz is a nice young player. That's a mouthful sometimes. Freddie Freeman's still young. I love Freeman. I'm a huge Freddie Freeman guy. I like Marquez, although he's a little up there in age. Matt Kemp's still having a good year. They have talent. I think Phillips could get dealt. Phillips is a guy to keep an eye on. I think Brandon Phillips could be a guy that could possibly get dealt to a contender. If you're gonna think of a big power guy that could get dealt, I can't believe I forgot this. Yonder Alonso from the A's, he was our all-star this year. He has 21 home runs. He's kind of slumping right now a little bit, but I think he could be a guy that gets moved. I don't think they move Chris Davis, who has 28 home runs right now. I don't think they move him because he's – in the last 2 years, he's hit, I think, 70 home runs in 2 years, not in two full seasons, so in Oakland. So I don't think they'll move him because it's under team control and he's 29. Although I wouldn't put it past Billy to move him. But I can see Phillips being a guy that gets dealt. I'm sure teams might maybe call back Kemp, although he can't play center field anymore. So he's more likely to be a DH, which is unfortunate because he used to be so good in the outfield. But those are the guys that come off the top of my head that can be moved. But for the Braves, I like their future. I really do. I think we talked about this last time when we had Justin on. I really like what their direction they're going. I don't think Snitaker is going to be their manager long term. I still think Wash will get a chance maybe to be their manager, but I could be wrong because I thought Wash would replace Bob Melvin in Oakland. But as you see, he already left to go coach in Atlanta, but he's from the South, so it makes sense. Wash is really good with young players and young teams. He's always with Texas, taking the two straight World Series. But be patient. I've been through this with the Pirates. Be patient and – you know, time will come. I can't believe Max is saying this because the Braves single-handedly ruined my favorite team for 20 straight years because of Bonds and Sid Bream. But I was always a big Greg Maddux guy, so I can't be too harsh on it. So just be patient, and something will happen. Next year, if they're contending, that's when they'll make the big trade because they have all those pieces in the farm system right now.
You know, I don't know how hard he is to get a hold of because I haven't tried in a while, but I know you guys have had Smoltz and Glavine on in the past couple weeks. You should try to get Mad Dog on. I think that the Bay Area would love to hear from him, especially, you know, he has pitched over in San Diego before, and I believe a little bit for the Dodgers. So, I mean, you know, he'd fit in over there.
Trust me, I tried for 2 years to get the Mad Dog on because it's just been a process because he coaches at UNLV. He lives in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So he's right out here, but I've never been able to get a hold of him. Smoltz is easy to get because of the MLB Network, and I've had him on before. You know, he's a fantastic interview and analyst. I think he's the best baseball out there right now. And Tom Glavine's such a nice guy. I usually text him directly because I have his number. He's such a great stand-up guy. So I love talking to those guys, listening to those guys. Here's a crazy Maddux stat. Now, everyone will love this. I think it was a couple of days ago. On that day 20 years ago, Greg Maddux threw a complete game. It was Monday. It was 20 years ago Monday. Greg Maddux threw a complete game 20 years ago against the Cubs. He only needed 76 pitches. Think about that for a second. 76 pitches to get through 9 innings. 63 of them.
That is averaging eight pitches an inning with an extra pitch in at least one of those innings.
Pretty much. That's what it was. Six strikeouts, no walks. Never went past 2-0. Never had more than two balls on a hitter. It was incredible. This is, look, when you get a chance, look it up. because I was reading that and I was like, this is remarkable, because I was watching the Giants Pirates game Monday night. Garrett Cole from the Pirates had 73 pitches or 4 innings. I was like, Greg Maddux had a complete game and he went through 5 more innings after that. So it's just astounding the numbers that he put up 20 years ago that will make him look like he's the greatest pitcher ever in the age today, which arguably I still think he is the greatest pitcher of all time, but no, you know, people always disagree with that. But from our day and age from watching baseball, I still think no one's even close to Maddux, although Pedro's pretty close and Randy Johnson, but no one comes close to Maddux.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You know, let's talk a little basketball before we come back around to the Falcons, and I'll probably finish this out. It's to me, it works better when we have these bigger topics like this, because we spawn off and go all different directions, because that's just how our brains work. What's your take on Kyrie Irving? We all know that LeBron can wear on people and everything like that, but good move, bad move to announce that you want to be traded from a team like that?
If everything is correct in what they're saying, that him and about Kyrie, now the report is that he's not talking to the Cavs, and there's a report out today that LeBron asked for Josh Jackson back in the deal if he got moved to the Suns. I agreed with what a lot of people were saying. They thought that it was a coup that him and LeBron were working together to both get out of Cleveland. But I think legitimately they just don't like each other, because Kyrie feels like he could be an alpha dog and he's not getting that chance in Cleveland. And if you listen to what Stephen A. Smith said the other day about how Kyrie felt that he was disrespected a little bit and all that because of LeBron coming back to Cleveland when he did, I think that plays a part of it. I think Kyrie can lead a team. It depends on who he goes to, though. People are saying Minnesota. I don't think he'll fit well in Minnesota at all.
No.
Tibbs will run him into the ground because, one, he doesn't like defense. And he'll just be grinding out games. And it's like, it's game 15 and Kyrie's already tired. And it's like, come on, man. It's the 15th game of the year, but that's what Tibbs does to you. I think the Suns are a good fit for him because he could be a superstar there. But why would you want to leave? Like, why do you want to leave the Eastern Conference? You have a cakewalk to them every single year if you're playing with LeBron. Although the Celtics are a little bit better now because they got Gordon Hayward, that's actually the team I want to see try to get Kyrie. Danny Ainge has all those first-round draft picks. Use them. Trade, get Kyrie. You have him for 2 more years. Resign him. It's Boston. Why would you not want to go there? Although that's not on his list of teams to go. He put the Knicks on his list. Why do you want to go to the Knicks? What is there? You got Kristaps Porzingis. Great. Porzingis is a great player. I really like Porzingis. They're the most behind probably Cleveland, the Cavs. They're the most dysfunctional franchise in basketball right now. Why do you want to go there?
Yeah.
So I don't get that. Either stay in Cleveland or, you know, ask for a trade to someone like Boston or, you know, something like that where you can go. But ultimately, I think he's going to be moved because they don't want all this bad publicity going on in Cleveland, because they're worrying about if LeBron's going to be there or not next year, and that's what they're worried about. And if you're going to ask me about LeBron right now, I don't think he leaves again. I honestly don't, because I don't think that he wants to be painted. Because he won that title there, and he knows how much that meant to Cleveland, and you know, him being from Akron, which is apart from Cleveland. I just don't see him doing that, because I don't think he wants to be the villain again in Cleveland, that area, because he won that title. Then he's like, it's like what he did for them winning that title, it's like it's a race because he left again, and he just left that franchise in shambles again. Although you can't blame him the first time, because they were trending in the wrong direction anyway. But then you get Kyrie, and Kyrie's there, and they were still terrible when they got Kyrie. And then when he played, then he never could stay healthy. And then LeBron comes, they go to the finals 3 straight years, they win a title. They're very dysfunctional, but I think Kyrie's gone. I think LeBron stays after next year. But what do you think? Do you think Kyrie should go or stay? Because, like I said, I think he should go because he has that alpha dog mentality. He could be a great elite player. Well, here he is. And the way he kind of reminds me, who he reminds me a little bit. I think Derrick Rose is a little more explosive getting to the hoop, but Kyrie's a much better shooter. That's who Kyrie reminds me of sometimes, is watching Derrick Rose. Because the way he can get to the hoop and slice his way to the hoop like Derrick Rose did, I love that part of his game. But he doesn't play defense, and that's going to hurt him if you want to go play for Minnesota, because Tibbs will not put up with that BS, because you know how he is with defense.
Right. I kind of like the Derrick Rose comparison. The only difference is Kyrie's joints are not made of crackers. So you know, he'll have a little bit better season, a little bit better career. If I was Kyrie and I was going to leave, this is the year to do it, and right now is the time, because sure, you'll be a villain for a minute, but you're not going to be full-blown Joker, Penguin, you know, Mr. Freeze. You're not going to be a big-time villain, because I think LeBron's going to head for the Lakers next year, because it just makes sense. He can go for all these acting things. He can do everything on the West Coast. At that point, he's not going to care about championships, because he knows he's never going to reach the Michael plateau or anything like that, the Michael Jordan stuff. At that point, he's going to realize, I need to set myself up for after basketball, and after basketball is the same route John Cena's taken. That's why John Cena has a house on the West Coast as well, so they can go do movies. They can go do, you know, they can host the ESPYs. They can do all that stuff out that way. So if I'm Kyrie, I try to go now. I try to pick place I want to go, and not just because we're going to tie this back into what we're coming around to, coming back to, but if I was Kyrie Irving, I would try to get traded to the Hawks. I really don't know what the Hawks would give him besides the entire team and maybe, you know, a whole row of Falcons season tickets, if they're still available at this point. But, you know, if Kyrie came to a place like this, he could pretty much be the new LeBron. He could look at the GM and even the coach and say, all right, here's the players I want. Go get them.
You know, I agree. I really like Travis Schlenk, the Hawks GM. I think Travis would actually like him because he's a good shooter. He does a lot of things great on offense. I mean, like I said, he just lacks the defensive side of the ball, which, whatever, it happens. Not everyone's great at defense. Derrick Rose is not good at defense.
If he's coach, you can get away with it.
Yeah, and Derrick Rose is never good at defense, and he won an MVP. So, I like what you're saying about LeBron in L.A. That's a really good theory, because a lot of people think that L.A. is a spot where he can end up. I just don't – with the Lakers, this is kind of a joke, but it could be kind of serious because the Laker fans love him. Do you want LeBron playing second fiddle to Lonzo Ball? Because Lonzo – I mean, I know it's funny to say that, but Lonzo is captivating that fan base because of what he did in the summer league. I know it's a summer league, and he put up those triple-doubles, but Lonzo's the future of that Lakers team. I mean, there's no denying that. He is. And I just don't think that – I think him and LeBron will be a good deal because Lonzo's such an unselfish player, and I actually really enjoy watching him. I really enjoy his game. But him and LeBron would be great. Him, LeBron, and Paul George would be awesome. I still don't think they could take on the Warriors. I'm not being biased because I live here. I think that Warriors team is could be arguably one of the greatest teams ever when it ends. But him being in L.A., that's a good move because that's a huge media market for LeBron, and you're right about the acting and all that stuff. But I just don't think he wants to be known as the guy that left Cleveland hanging twice because he's from there.
Yeah, but what has that city ever done for him? You got a crappy owner who pretty much double birds him every time he turns around. And you could tell I've been watching the Practical Jokers a lot from that term. But, I mean, the thought
great,
just
great
occurred
show,
to me,
by the
too,
way.
That, oh, yeah, it's actually on in the background instead of the game. I told him to have it on. So that'll be another discussion here in a couple minutes. But not that I'm complaining. This is actually a good episode. But wouldn't this just really bunch the underwear of Kyrie here? Because I know he mentioned that he mentioned going to this place. What if LeBron beat Kyrie to the punch? If, you know, as far as acting, as far as Hollywood, even though Hollywood is in California, if you're going to do acting and stuff like that and you're going to get into these other media markets, there's really two hotbeds. There's California and there's New York. What if LeBron goes to the Knicks and helps develop Porzingis and kind of helps build that team? Because I could see him staying in the East to say, hey, me and Porzingis and three other random scrubs can make it as a 5-6 seed and make it into the playoffs every year. And the Knicks going, okay, here's the checkbook. Just put as many commas as you want.
Okay, so I'm gonna put Leis out the best way I can with the Joe Buck economy of words here.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you two words of the Knicks, and then I'm just gonna stop there and let you think about how you want to proceed. James Dolan. they're not.
Yeah,
going
good point.
That
no.
With him being the owner, he's worse than Dan Gilbert. So I don't want to hear what anyone's saying. LeBron to the Knicks. They could be so good there because Dolan will give them everything. Yes, because he fired Phil Jackson, which okay, Phil wasn't that great, but you know whatever. It's Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
James Dolan is no. Stay in Cleveland. If that's your option, stay in Cleveland or go to the Knicks, stay in Cleveland. Do not go to – and that's weird. I would never tell someone to stay in Cleveland and not go to New York City. But in this instance, stay in Cleveland. You have the Indians. They're playing well.
Yeah, but they get the Yankees in New York.
Well, LeBron is a Yankee fan.
Yes, and a Jay-Z fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, all right, I don't know. But Cleveland has the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Go there, LeBron.
I could come up with more for New York, but I could come up for a few more for Cleveland, too. And we don't want this thing to go another hour and a half. So.
Drew Carey. You got to hang out with Drew Carey. Because remember, Cleveland rocks.
Yes. And The Miz.
Remember, here's the funny thing about The Miz. What was the last major change that Cleveland had before LeBron won a title for the Cavs?
The last major title?
Yep.
My guess would be the Indians, but I couldn't. It would probably be in the 70s or something.
Incorrect. Mike the Miz Mizanian was the WWE champion.
Oh, yep, that's true.
There you go. I'm gonna end off my Cleveland stuff right there.
I was about to say before that we'll have to get into Jerry Lawler stuff, and even though he's known for all this stuff in Memphis, he's a diehard Indians fan for some reason.
Well, there's a baseball team in Memphis, so he probably likes this. Probably likes the Indians, but
yeah,
I'm looking,
pretty much.
Let's end this on a positive note. I guess we can go back to the Falcons. They love hype.
Well,
this year.
Now since we only have in the last 5 or 6 minutes or so, I know you've been wanting to get to this reply all emails thing, so I want to give you the floor to do that.
Okay, so I don't know how other people feel about this, but this is how I feel about this. You know how when you're at home and you're home from work and someone gets promoted at work and it's like, oh, hey, congrats, Billy. You got promoted to be the new janitor at the office. And everyone's like, hey, great, reply all. Don't hit reply all, okay? I don't want to be blown up with your damn emails about how, hey, it's so great this happened to you. Tell the person and tell him in person. This is why this country is so bad at communicating, because nobody can talk to people in person anymore. Everyone's a keyboard hero now. I am so over this. Don't hit reply all. I don't want 9,000 emails about someone getting a gosh darn job promotion. I don't care. I have other things to worry about. So this happens all the time for where I work. It just happened the other day. Someone got promoted or some other BS happened. It's like, I don't even know who this is, and I've been working for the company longer than most people that are here. I don't know you. I don't care. Don't reply all. Reply to each other. Put to Billy, CC like three other people, and that's it. Leave the rest of us alone. That's all I have to say, because I can go on for the next 20 minutes about this. It's a travesty. It's a joke. I don't want it to happen. Get rid of delete reply all emails, because someone told me every time you hit reply all in an email, a kitten dies or something. It was a joke. But it's like, come on. I'm done. I don't want reply all emails. This was hot last time we were going to talk about this. It's hot again because it happened again at work. I'm done. I'm over with it. Talk to people in person. You're going to see them 5 hours from now or 10 hours or 24 hours from now. Just wait. The joy of them telling them in person is so much better. Trust me. That's all I have on that.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, really. I got to agree with you on that. That's one thing we luck out on here, because at Impact Media, we do our best not to communicate via email, or don't tag more than 3 people in a message. Just tell one person and tell them to tell the other 19 or something, because I agree with you. It's just, it really is ridiculous that 900 people shouldn't have to see the fact that you went good job or something like that. When, you know, like you said, you could easily go in and find Billy the janitor and go, hey, you're a lead garbage tech. Good job.
Yeah, exactly. As they always say on Twitter, don't at me, bro. Don't at me.
Exactly. That's a clown move, bro. That's exactly what that is.
Thank you, Bryce Harper.
That being said, he, Bryce, if you're listening, and I know you do, for some reason I just feel like you do, you need to call us and be on the show sometime, because we could talk about hair tips. I actually had mine cut earlier today. If it wasn't for the people who cut my hair, it would probably look terrible, and I probably would not be in media. But we'll talk hair. We'll talk all kinds of stuff. I'd like to ask him if he thinks he can hit one where Aaron Judge did the other day, where it almost cleared the Safeco wall, I believe.
Oh, no, he did. He hit a home run the next day, and he actually beat Judge's record for the fat cast.
Oh,
Arizona.
You know what?
He did the next day.
Yeah. That one, he's another one that, as consistent as he's been, everybody's saying, well, all these new age guys, all these big, strong kids coming around, maybe something's going around and all that. And I was like, well, Bryce Harper's been playing in the league for the last 6 years, and he just hit one further than everybody. So he's really the same size as when he came in. So there's nothing going around. It's just called they're hitting pitches.
Here, I'm gonna, all right, let's do this real quick. And I know this is whatever. All right, I'm going to give you five names of five different players, and I want you to tell me, give me your rank one through five and who you would start your franchise with. Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge. We'll throw Cody Bellinger in there because Cody Bellinger is having a great year and he's young. And the fifth one, let's put Nolan Arenado because Nolan Arenado is still young for the Rockies. Give me one through five who you would, how you put rank them and who you build your franchise around first.
See, you should have thrown in a young pitcher like a – I mean, Kershaw's not that young anymore. But, you know, if there was somebody like him in there, then you get a debate for me. But by far, Bryce Harper is honestly one through five in my opinion. But it's got to be Bryce Harper because even though, like I said, he's been playing in the league for 6 years, it's the LeBron rule. He started when he was like 18. So he's got that many more years he can play. It's got to be him. Aaron Judge, just because I'm kind of Yankee homer and out. But, I mean, he's a young enough kid that I can build around that as well. Let's see. I like that Rockies kid, but I don't like him more than I do Bellinger. And then who was the other one you mentioned?
Oh, no love for Mike Trout, huh?
Mike Trout, there we go. Yeah, Mike Trout would probably be four to me. It's nothing personal to him. Watching Mike Trout play is like watching the Spurs play basketball. I know it's good, and I know it's, you know, it's like watching a Woody Allen movie. You know it's good, but, you know, fundamentally wise, but it just excites me like painting a wall or something. I don't know. He's a great player, and he does good, but just – I'm more about the flash and the stuff like that than, you know, I would rather have a flashy, really good player than a phenomenal player that's just, you know, watching grass grow.
Cool. You know, I need a big glass of water because that hot take was just burning through me because that I've never heard someone say about Trout. And that's actually, I'm glad you said that because I like him. I think he's a, I like him. I go with Harper first. Then Trout, then Aaron Judge, and then I put Arenado fourth. You know what? I'm going to backtrack on this. People are going to probably disagree with me, and I don't care. Arenado's third, then Judge, and then Bellinger. Arenado gets no love because he played in Colorado. And I think that – I mean, we could do this all day long because there's other players we're forgetting. Corey Seager's really good. There's a bunch of guys that you could do. Giancarlo Stanton is still playing very well. You got guys all over the place, but those are the guys that stick out to me because Bellinger's having a huge year with Judge as a rookie. And, you know, no one's talking about what Bellinger's doing because Aaron Judge is still in all the headlines. I mean, to have those two guys as rookies, they're probably going to hit close to four. I mean, Judge will hit 40 and Bellinger will come close. This is good for baseball. Although, you know, people are thinking that, you know, everything was, the balls are juice, whatever. This is exciting for baseball. This is what they need. And, you know, Kersell is going to have 300 strikeouts this year. That's great. I love watching pitchers get 300 strikeouts. So, I think baseball is trending upwards. I know it's more of a regional sport, which I really don't care. I'm always going to watch it, but I'm with you. Harper is the most exciting guy in the game to watch, and I'll argue with anyone all day long about how if they think someone's more exciting than him. But I mean, he got thrown out of a game last night for arguing balls and strikes, and it was awesome because he's the only player this year, I believe he's the only player this year to get ejected multiple times in a game. So the fight I saw in person with him and Hunter Strickland, arguably the greatest thing I've ever seen in a sporting event. Because Bryce and him just went at it, and it was so great. So I think he's most exciting to watch. And then Trout, because Trout played for the Angels. Unfortunately, he's on the West Coast. No one really watches him that much. The Angels are wasting his career away, unfortunately, because he's so damn good, but they don't win. So he's just being wasted. I'd love to see him go to the Yankees, though. He's from New Jersey. I think him being with the Yankees, good God, that team would be so good if they had him.
Yeah. Let me just throw this comparison out, and then we'll go into the end of the tunnel here that is our show. Mike Trout is, even though I don't necessarily agree with this comparison I'm going to do, but based off public perception, the way I see Mike Trout is how most people see John Cena. They are fantastic for their perspective sports. They do so much stuff that people don't realize, and a lot of the under the radar stuff, but sometimes they're not the most fantastic, exciting watch. That's kind of my comparison. I'm trying to give him a great compliment because I know he's a good player, not because people tell me. I've seen him play on TV. I haven't got to see him live yet, but seeing Trout on TV, he is really good, but there's just not a lot of flash, and I can pretty much predict the move as it's happening the same way you can with John Cena. And I'm a huge Cena fan, but it seems like that's kind of the comparison in my head.
You know, I kind of see your tone from that with that because, and I like this first thing because you're right. He's just so damn good, and everything he does, it's just, he makes everything look so easy. But he can win the MVP every year. So it's like that same argument with LeBron. He can win the MVP every year if he wanted to. It's just Trout doesn't play for a good team because, you know, unfortunately with baseball, you know, there's a lot more variables against him winning the MVP. So him winning the MVP every year would be great, but he's had one playoff berth in his entire career, and he's been in the league the same amount of time as Harper. So the way he's getting wasted in Anaheim is just it's a travesty because I think that if he's on any other team that was competing, although, you know, the Angels are only a couple games under 500, but that's not the point. They're not going to win the division. They're playing behind Houston. If he's anywhere else, anywhere not on the West Coast, that guy is the face of baseball because he's on the East Coast. But now that he's out here, he can't be the face of baseball because half the time people can't watch his games because they're in bed.
Right. That's true. That's definitely true. But, you know, we'll go ahead and end it there. We can talk about the Falcons more as they come up because it won't be that much longer before Sports Club starts being a weekly thing as opposed to bi-monthly currently. Don't exactly have a date on that, but just know that the closer the football season comes, the closer we are to being invading your ear holes at least once a week.
I'm looking forward to it because, you know, once football season's back, it's back. And a lot of hype out here. Well, there's a lot of hype in Atlanta for the Falcons. There's a lot of hype out here for Oakland. And, well, not much hype here for the 49ers, but that's okay. They'll be good in 10 years, I promise.
Hey, but, you know, on this show, it's not just because you're a big part of this show, but, yeah, some things we are going to do NFL-wise is, you know, we're going to do kind of a baseline thing as far as we'll go through the divisions a little bit. Mainly, we're just going to do it on head coach, quarterback, defense, and then, you know, how we think they'd finish in a division, you know, who's the best as far as those. But I really want to dig into the Falcons. I really want to dig into the 49ers because I do think they're not going to be the worst team in the league. Who knows exactly where they're going to be, but I do like some of the things they're doing there. Obviously, Oakland's going to be fun to watch, especially you got beast mode out there and then with the inevitable move in a couple years, which is still not 100% finalized, and people don't realize that. But we're going to really dig into a lot of these teams that are interesting, whether their record proves so or not. So we are going to dig into the 49ers, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Completely agree. I can't wait for it, and especially diving into the Raiders and the Falcons because – I love both their offenses, and the 49ers have the second-worst offensive arsenal in the league, according to Bill Barnwell's article. So I cannot wait to talk about Brian Hoyer, Carlos Hyde, who could get cut. You heard it here. Well, not here first, because Greg Rosenthal said it on his podcast. You have Pierre Garçon. The 49ers offense will be as bad as they say it is right now because, well, they're going to be growing. But bad enough, they will get Sam Darnold from USC. Hopefully that's a good thing, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, especially the season's back, because you never know. You could see a Falcons-Raiders Super Bowl, which would be great for everyone.
Yep, it actually would. We would definitely tune in for both sides. You know, quick tidbit, I don't think you guys would get Sam Darnold. I actually think you guys are going to be in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, but that is for another day.
I keep forgetting about
that.
No, go ahead. That's right. That's my guy.
Yep.
You like that?
Yep. I would like that if he played there. I mean, I like Kirk Cousins, so.
I do too. Big fan.
But that's going to do it for us. And Cody, appreciate you being the other half of this amazing cluster of a show where literally we have no idea where this is going to go. We have a sheet in front of us with all the things we want to talk about, and you can see what happens. We start with the Falcons. We end up in the NBA. Sometimes we weren't even going to talk about the NBA, and then we end up in the NHL, and then sometimes we're talking badminton and cricket in the South China Sea. That's why you should tune in. We're going to have some fun guests coming up. But for West Coast Cody, I am East Coast Jeremy. We will see you guys next week. Or maybe 2 weeks, rather.
Yeah,
either way, we never had that figured out. Yeah.
Talk to y'all then.
Yeah. We'll talk to y'all when we're back.
Back it up, drop it down. Let me see you dip. Get low, scrub the ground. Let me see you dip. Push it up, let me see you dip. Wow.
I got them shaking they boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate them blue in the face like John Doe. I'm drinking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay late, save your time.
These guys are warriors.